It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, I don't recall seeing a worse way to lose than what happened to you guys yesterday with that miracle in Miami. First of all, did you sleep last night?
Not much. That was a tough one for us to fly home on. I don't think anyone slept well last night. Losing to them is always tough, and losing to them in Miami, which hasn't been our most favorable place to play, but you know, we felt like we had a great opportunity down there, and there was a handful of plays that really cost us the game. And but there's certainly a lot of things we can do better. We can learn from it. I always think you can learn from losing, obviously, a lot more than learn from winning. And we're in a decent position, and we got our whole season ahead of us, and you know, we got to go out and put together a great week and get back on track.
All right, more Brady with Gray. And we'll just keep that question on the table, which is, if every time Brady has a bad game or throws a bad pass, we ask if he's getting old and the game's passing him by, are you allowed to do the same thing with Bill Belichick when he has a moment like that on Sunday in Miami? Is a game? Do you worry that the game is passing Bill Belichick by? I think that's a fair question. I think Bill's been good this year. I really do. I think Bill and the coaching staff has been great this year. I think they have had a very good year. But it's fair, because when Brady looks that way, we say, huh, what's up with this?
I don't think that the game is passing him by, but I think with age, especially around that age, I'm thinking of your folks. They get stubborn, and they get dug into how they believe, and they're not going to change. And, you know, you get to 66, and with everything that he's accomplished, why would he want to deal with anyone that's going to maybe give him trouble, even if it's a talented player? So, no, I'm going to draft a guy I know it's going to be more malleable. So those kind of things, I think, ultimately end up biting him in the ass. So you scrape the bottom of the barrel for a player that you can bring in and just be like a, you know, a decent enough linebacker, rather than, you know, trying to bring in maybe one that's going to be a really good player. Maybe did they, you know, all right, so in theory, did they maybe move on from Coney Ealy too quick? I know he's bounced around since he moved on from him, but they trade that third round pick for him, what, the last season? And so they couldn't work with him in the training camp, and they get to the season, they ends up, the hell, what, we're moving on from Coney Ealy. What, because he wasn't coachable? You didn't want to deal with a guy who was a bit of a pain in the ass? Like, I just wonder in these type of situations where this is where age is catching up with Belichick, his stubbornness.
I mean, the phrase passing him by, does that mean he doesn't have the energy to keep up, or he thinks he's got an antiquated view of what the game is? You follow me?
I mean, it could be anything you want it to be. I don't think it's that second thing.
Okay, so with Joe Gibbs, like Joe Gibbs, the game had passed him by.
Oh, sure. Right, exactly.
Okay, like he wasn't. He just was not playing the same game everyone else was playing. I don't think that's a problem with Bill.
Me neither.
Now, if you want to say, does he have less energy now than he did 10 years ago? I don't know how he could have the same. So is it affecting his ability to do the job? I mean, on some level, it has to be. The question is whether it's showing up.
They had a soft offseason, and Bill was a part of it. I mostly blame Brady. And when you're passing, when your quarterback doesn't show up for a passing camp, it's sort of hard to have a passing camp. I get it. But Bill was all too willing to have a hot dog cookout and bag it for the next 2-3 days, you know. So, I mean, he'd chill Bill, man. That's happened the last couple of years, too. So it was all that sort of catch up on the margins. I mean, I think it might. But on balance, I think the coaching has had a, you know, excellent year, a very good year. And I did ask this before in our 10 questions. So it's just another thing to jump on with this. If you had only one coach to coach your defense, and you were starting a team tonight, who would you take to coach your defense? Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll? And if you watched last night, if you watched the Seahawks this year, who, you know, not 2 years removed from the whole Legion of Boom sort of dismantling, feels like they're back defensively with players that I don't even know. You can't even recognize.
Again, all you have to say is that they start Barkevious Mingo.
They start Barkevious Mingo and Coleman, the
Justin Coleman.
Justin Coleman, start on that defense.
How about your defense tonight?
Yeah! And that is a, as usual with Pete, a fast, attacking, aggressive, smothering defense.
Ferocious.
And really, when you look at Pete Carroll's career, wherever he's been, he's had a fast, attacking, aggressive, smothering defense pretty much at every stop. And like I said, they had to reset there in Seattle from that old group to the new group. But how long was that lull? Did it last more than a year? And they're right back? And they're right back defensively? So Pete Carroll almost without fail has a good defense. Can you say the same thing about Belichick?
No, to me, it's Pete. It is. It's Pete. I'm not trying to be a wise ass or anything of the like. I'm telling you, it's Pete. There's only a couple of guys on that defense that I know. One's Wagner, who's been there forever. And the pass rusher, Frank Clark. I mean, he's been there for a few years now. So I knew about him. I didn't even know they had Deion Jordan until last night. Like, I thought, he's on that team? So to me, it's Pete.
Okay. So
that doesn't make anybody feel any good.
I know, Pete. It certainly doesn't. We'd rather have you than Bill coaching defense. Oh.
Barkevious Mingo.
Wow. Okay, we've given away the dead tickets. We'll do it again tomorrow. So, hippies, stop calling. Stop calling.
Yeah, man.
Take a bath and stop calling. And we'll be back at it tomorrow at 4:50 for more dead tickets. To your phones. Mike in the car. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hey, guys. Forgive me if this has been discussed already, but on the final play of the game in Miami, the initial DB misses the tackle, but he's trying to make a play on the ball. But if you watch, J.C. Jackson has a chance at all three runners, literally, and he whiffs on all three. Not only that, he's like running sideways and he does like a little hop, skip, jump in the air, waiting for someone else to make the tackle. It's unfathomable how bad his tackling was.
Oh, a couple of guys. And by the way, I don't absolve Jonathan Jones, the first player, because why are you going for the ball?
Exactly right.
There was no,
get the guy in the ground, the game's over.
You basically let Stills get behind you. He sort of ran around in a circle and then lateraled it, but why are you going for the ball in the first place? Let him catch it and bring him down.
And to me, those are the guys you look at when you say who could have been off the field and McCourty had been on it. Those are the first guys you pick at. Jonathan Jones, J.C. Jackson. So like with Jackson, it feels like Jackson rapidly has become the flavor of the month. Because you go back to the Minnesota game, and he played well, and I know he was in coverage on the ball that Harmon picked off on a deflection at the end of the game, as you know. But nonetheless, I look at the guys they had on the field, and I say, if you did want to have Gronk on the field, you tell me you couldn't have pulled one of those two guys off and put McCourty on instead?
Of course you could have. So, meanwhile, we also talked about this prospective Bruins trade. Krug and Jake DeBrusk for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, do you do that? If it took giving up Jake DeBrusk for Nugent-Hopkins, would you? Mike and Bill Ricca, would you do that?
So I think we could all pretty much agree that Krug straight up for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins would be fine. But I don't know if Jake DeBrusk is worth giving up, because I agree with Maz. What are you giving up? You're pretty much saying that a guy who has broken 20 goals twice in his career over 7 years for the upside of a Jake DeBrusk. I just don't think it's worth it in the end.
Okay.
You have to look at it from, I think my point of view is he bad because he's in Edmonton and he's been playing with, you know, Sahar guys all his career? Or is DeBrusk going to be the guy to lead you going forward? I don't know. I think you stay with DeBrusk.
Okay, well, it's just, you know, Nugent-Hopkins can play center, which is a whole different set of values there. It's more valuable to have that guy as opposed to, I mean, do you think DeBrusk is ever a first line, a top three wing?
No.
I mean, I feel like this is what he is, and I like it. Believe me, I like it a lot. And he can grow, and maybe he's a 30-goal scorer at some point, maybe. But I don't ever feel he's that elite offensive. So you're talking about a second-line wing versus someone who has the talent to be a first-line center. The ceiling's higher on Nugent Hopkins. I'll just go back to where I started, and that is I'm willing to be on the other side of a Chiarelli trade. Because if he thinks it's worth it for him, it's probably not. And you'll probably win the trade, given his history. So let him make it, and you just sit there and let him, once again, crap his pants.
Okay, but Chiarelli has made some good deals.
In Edmonton?
No, I'm just saying in general.
Well, if you talk about like the Seidenberg deadline deal, it was 15 years ago now. I mean, I'm actually made up that number. It's like 9 years ago, whatever. But I mean, I don't know what he's done great in Edmonton other than let Connor McDavid fall into his lap.
But my bigger issue with it is, what if you're the Bruins and you're making the deal, what's the objective? The objective is to improve your forward group.
Yes.
So I don't want to take away from it to add to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So your upgrade then is incremental because you're losing one and adding one.
Yeah, I hear you.
I want the full bang for the buck. I want another forward to go with DeBrusk.
And I'm calling Nugent Hopkins Patrice Bergeron. I'm not. But something that's on the table is that if Nugent Hopkins reached his absolute ceiling, you have a number one center for the next 10 years. You know, you don't have that with DeBrusk, and you're not going to have that with Bergeron. So there's a component there that if that kid ever, you know, figured it all out, he could be an elite franchise kind of talent.
Sure. But again, I would say he's 25. I mean, in hockey, that is close to your ceiling.
Yep.
And so I just like the idea of having more. You know, to me, the whole idea is to improve your forward group. So you want to, now that safeguards you in a lot of ways. Maybe he could move into Bergeron's spot when he goes. But in the meantime, you're playing with DeBrusk and you bump Krejci down, like, or you know, whatever. You figure it out with the centers in the second and third. I like that, but I don't want to give up DeBrusk to do it.
I just keep Chiarelli on the phone. Just keep him on the phone. What do you want? We hold on to DeBrusk for now, but anything else, Peter? You name the deal, and we're in.
Well, you know that if he does get DeBrusk, he'll sign him to a stupid contract.
I just want to be on the other side of that bozo once. Just once. Let me pick up his nonsense. Because, boy, Sagan, Taylor Hall, just down the line, he hates elite top pick forwards. He just hates them. So I'll take one of those guys if he wants to give it to me. We continue with your phones right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, I mean, Gronkowski shouldn't have been out there, and there's no explanation why he, no rational explanation why he was out there. And then you had a bunch of, you know, individual screw ups. Whether it's Jonathan Jones going for the ball instead of the man on the first pass, J.C. Jackson giving up, you know, outside leverage after that. And then, you know, I mean, Devin McCourty has to be on the field. And the Patriots should have known that Ryan Tannehill with a bum shoulder is not going to throw it 80 yards. So why aren't Matthew Slater, Nate Ebner, Brandon King? I mean, these guys are the guys you pay to tackle in the open field. And they're not on the field, but Rob Gronkowski is.
So that's back to Bill.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The big boy, Greg Bedard, was in earlier. Add him to the list of those who blame Bill for that last play. It's pretty standard analysis. I mean, it's Tannehill wasn't going to hit the end zone, so why'd you have a jump ball guy in there?
I mean, I don't know where else you'd go with that one than the coach.
And Bill said yesterday, Belichick said on the conference call that we still can't discount the possibility of a long pass, which is fine, fair. I've seen teams throw the Big Ben, the Hail Mary, to the 5-yard line or the 10-yard line even, hope for a crazy deflection. Sure. But in that case, you still need a tackler.
Absolutely.
Because you still need someone to defend the goal line in case it is caught, because they're going to have to run it in from the 5 or the 10. So you needed a tackler there, not a leaper. And so that was Bedard's analysis of that final play. Bedard also, after looking at the film, came up with something kind of scary. And that is Brady's health. He thinks Brady's banged up, and well, I'll let him explain it himself. Here's Bedard on Brady and a potential injury.
He was terrible. He was not good.
Terrible.
Well, not terrible. That's too strong. He was not good. And I think that he has an injury. It could be very serious. I don't know if it's week to week. I don't even know if it's the left knee. It could very well be the right knee.
What led you to say that?
Just the way he wasn't pushing off. There was a throw. They were in the red zone. He spun out of it. He threw left. And you could see it on the all 22 that as he gets up, first of all, he gets up strange. Somebody gives him a hand. Tooney, I think, gave up the pressure on the play. Gives him a hand. He gets up strange. And then right before the film cuts to the end zone angle, you see him look down on his right knee. There were plays there to be made that a healthy Tom Brady makes. The Hogan play. Even before the Hogan play, there was the throwaway out of the back of the end zone where he really didn't have all that much pressure. If he holds the ball an extra beat, Rob Gronkowski's wide open for a touchdown. But he bails early on that one. He bails early on the Hogan throw. There were other throws in the game where he bailed early. And to me, that tells me that Tom Brady is hurt. Seeing a healthy Tom Brady, a really good MVP Tom Brady, and then seeing him hurt, which is largely what we've seen out of him, I now think, now with this sort of context, I now think that the passing game struggles have been Brady-centric. And I think it has to do with his health. I don't think he's been healthy all year. And it's in the lower body.
Okay, pretty strong commentary there. We helped him there. We edited out all the sighing and the lip smacking and the
head. I wish he just started with this.
He was terrible. He was not good.
And to put that in context, Bedard did say that in the first part of the game, and especially those two series back-to-back where he hit Patterson and then Gronkowski for touchdowns, that Bedard said Brady looked as good as he's looked all year.
Right, maybe better.
Which we all acknowledge. He was fabulous early on in that ball game and through a portion of the first half where just on time, on target, laser beam throws, the Patterson throw, etc. And Bedard said he looked amazing on those particular sequences. But then, after the Gronkowski touchdown, he looked terrible.
He was terrible. He was not good.
Okay.
So it started late in the second quarter.
And it started there. And so he thinks it's an injury, Matt. You went back and looked at the play he was talking about? He was up by Tooney?
Yeah, because Greg mentioned them, and I went back and looked at the plays. And on the one he's talking about, he does get helped up. And then, there's a couple of throws. Brady starts spinning out a little more than halfway through the second quarter. And the only thing that I can see there that makes me wonder is, do you remember there was a batted pass that Brady then had to jump up and play defense on and basically swatted it down with, to make sure that it wasn't intercepted. And then after that, it looks to me like he hobbles just a little, like just a hint of a hobble. And I wonder if maybe whatever it was that has been ailing him, that he aggravated on that play just a little. And then as the day went on, it started to get a little bit worse. And then he couldn't finish his throw. See, I think it's his left knee. Like, to me, when you're stepping out like that, you don't want to land on your leg. You don't want to put your weight on your leg. So Greg can say, Greg might be right. I'm not telling you it's the left knee for sure. But he doesn't look like he wants to push off. I think it's because he doesn't want to land. If he pushes off, he knows there's going to be more force on the left knee. And so he half-asses the throws. He spins out of them a little bit.
One more from Bedard. This is one that's near and dear to Murray's heart. Murray, is Rob Gronkowski still dead?
Yeah, pretty much.
So the artist known as Gronk is dead. He's now...
Just Robert James Gronkowski, basic tight end in the NFL. Yeah, I stand by that.
What's the Hulk's name again?
Bruce Banner.
So he's still just Bruce Banner, not the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So Gronk is dead. And you think his game on Sunday in Miami was overrated?
I do.
Okay. I think Greg Bedard agrees.
He was terrible. He was not good.
No, that's great. Give me the Gronkowski one. Thank you.
He had more explosion off the line than he has in weeks. Certainly, it was night and day. him athletically getting down the field largely for most of the game, getting off the line. But it was soft zone coverage the whole day. Anybody who says that this was vintage Rob Gronkowski.
Go ahead.
Delusional and a stats humper.
There you go.
Thank you, Greg.
I mean, look, he was good in this game.
Did
but I mean, when
him?
We talk about Rob Gronkowski, vintage Rob Gronkowski, we're talking about uncoverable one-on-one running over people. Did he break any tackles in this game? This was what any effective tight end in the National Football League would do against this defense. They kept zoning him up.
Okay, so if you thought Rob
Translation.
Gronkowski, he was terrible. Yeah. He was not good.
And if you think otherwise, you're delusional and a stats humper.
Stats humper. Yep. So, you pull down your pants and you hump stats.
So you would agree, Mess.
Look, to me, the thing that stuck on the game is Miami didn't jam him. They didn't jam him at the line all day. And so to me, the issue with Gronk has been that you've been able to slow him down off the line this year now because he can't fight through it like he used to. So it's coverage. It's tight man-to-man aggressive coverage that he can't deal with. That guy on the Jets, the safety that the Jets have.
Jamal Adams.
I thought that guy really shut him down. Like, you know, for a guy his size, he handled Gronk. And you never see that. So to me, that Miami just let him, you know, there was no resistance. So Gronk's brain still works. He knows where the open spots are, and his hands work just fine. But it's his legs and his strength that isn't there like it used to be.
All right, you want to weigh in on any of that Greg Bedard material? Those takes from Bedard? Pretty solid material today. We'll take your calls at 617-779-0988.
He was terrible. He was not good.
617-779-0985. Back to the phone. Still people want to weigh in on that Nugent Hopkins thing. Mike and Groton, go, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Hey, I just want to touch on the Nugent Hopkins trade. And I personally wouldn't do it. I just don't think that type of player is worth giving up a DeBrusque and a Krug. I mean, if you want to throw a Krug and a Krejci or a Krug, even a Backus or even all three, that's fine with me. But that type of player, I don't think it would be worth it at this time.
Okay, Shirelli's stupid, but he's not that dumb. Again, I don't want to take the trade calls. Well, you're trading a bag of pucks. Okay, it's got to be realistic. It's
sure.
Something for a player like that, it's going to hurt a little bit. So make it hurt a little bit. In your specific trade, of course I'd trade Backus for Ryan Nugent Hopkins. That's like a dumb. The one I raised earlier is if Shirelli's in a win now mode, and he is, he might get fired out there if they don't make the playoffs this year. Can you sell him on Krejci if you swallow some of Krejci's salary? Krejci's over $7 million a year. He's your highest paid player. If you make Krejci a $5 million a year player, is that a better fit out there in Edmonton if they want to win right now? Is that a better fit for Shirelli right now?
I mean, maybe.
Krug and Krejci for Nugent Hopkins, and Krejci's on a reduced deal.
Yeah, maybe. So I can't speak to the financials of it and everything else, but that to me I would consider to be an upgrade. You know, you get a better player in the short term and the long, and you're still keeping DeBrusque, who's your best young forward. Like that, absolutely I would do. Listen, I hear you on DeBrusque. I just can't erase what he did in the postseason last year. And I know it was only the one series. He was hard on the puck. And so to me, that kind of guy, there's going to be value in the spring. He competes.
Cam and Taunton, quickly.
Hey, Mike, the best part about Shirelli, he trades Taylor Hall and Tyler Seguin, but he traded for the sixth overall pick in that same draft, Brett Conley. So,
right, yeah, no.
I'm a Noah. What I would do instead of DeBrusque, I would eat some of Krug's salary and try and get them to take Forrest Backer Carlson or Bjork or Donato. DeBrusque, he's a young Jordan Eberle. He's going to be a 20-25 goal scorer you have under cost-effective terms. You can't give that up for Nugent Hopkins. You're not winning now anyway. You're not in the class of Tampa or any of those teams. So what are we doing this move for?
Okay, well, but Nugent Hopkins makes you younger and faster and more skilled. He does. And even if he's there over DeBrusque, I still think he does. He's 25, so he's a year or two older than DeBrusque. But
they could use a good young center.
Yes, and all their centers coming up are not offensive guys. Forrest Backer Carlson's a third line guy, and this Trent Frederick's supposed to be a bruiser, not a purely offensive guy. And Studnicka, I don't know, I guess is a ways away. So they need offensive centers, no question about it.
I mean, to me, like, it's worth doing it just for that reason. You'd make an upgrade there. Even if Nugent Hopkins isn't a superstar, let's say he's a second or third line center. And I know you said he's not third, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Right now, other than Bergeron, it doesn't really feel like, you know, Krejci's hit or miss.
We'll wrap it up with your wonderful phone calls after Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills. Laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 yard line, angling inside. Oh, 25. 15. Tannehill's going to win the foot race to the end zone.
He's got
the Dolphins.
Yeah, Gronkowski deep. He almost blows his knee out trying to get to the sideline.
You've got that last play. Will linger. It's really one of the worst memories in Patriots history, at least with the recent past.
That summarizes everything down here. It really does.
Well, get ready to never forget this one.
The Dolphins have won it over the Pats, 34-33.
Are you me?
Jim Murray put that together. Very good ominous music there, Murray.
That's Nine Inch Nails.
Dark. It's got to be something like that, right? All right, meanwhile, Murray's been reporting on something all day from Bob Nightingale that the Red Sox are willing to listen to trade offers for Xander Bogaerts to clear cap space or, you know, salary space. Willing to listen on offers on Jackie Bradley to clear salary. Willing to listen to offers on Rick Porcello to trade salary, to swap, you know, to trim salary. Did you buy it, Maz?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Should they?
I think they're willing to listen. Sure, they should.
Would you trade Bogaerts just to trim salary?
Not just to trim salary, no. I would to trim salary because I deem him unsignable beyond next year.
So would you consider it a win if they traded Bogaerts and got prospects and trim salary?
I mean, depends on who the prospects are.
Are good system prospects because your system is barren, right?
Sure.
Dombrowski gutted it.
Yeah, I would, and I'll tell you why. Because I think that Bogaerts had a career year last year and that I worry about their ability to sign him with Boris as his agent after next season. I think that number is going to come in the 20s. Is Xander Bogaerts really a $20 million a year player?
Like he was last year.
And it might be 25. Okay, but again,
100 RBIs.
Career year, right?
That well, would, to that, this point.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he figured it out. Maybe that's what he is.
Maybe he hasn't.
I mean, it could be a career year or it could be a player on the ascent who took a couple years to finally, you know, figure it out.
Correct. And I'm telling you that I am not totally 100% confident that he's going to be able to replicate that every year. And so even if he can, what are you going to end up paying for him to keep him? So I just think that they got a dilemma here. You know, in the next couple of years, right? And I'm not even getting to 2020 yet, but let's keep it in the next year. Bogaerts, Porcello, Sale, maybe JD Martinez, then Betts is going to come up the year after. How are you going to pay all these guys? There's just no way they can do it.
So I think they're thinking the same thing. Brendan and Lowell, your thoughts on the Bogarts thing?
Hi, fan of the show. I just wanted to talk to you guys and see, would you want to get rid of Bogarts and maybe pick up Tulo? What's your thoughts on that?
Okay, so Tulowitzki is released today by Toronto.
No thanks.
He's still super expensive, isn't he?
No, well, you'd get him for nothing.
You'd get him for nothing?
The Blue Jays are eating the $38 million left on the deal.
Oh, they released him. Oh, yeah.
Oh, but they're still on the hook for the salary. Right.
Right, they released him. So you get him for, you know.
Wow.
I mean, you want to take a shot? Sure. But I think he's done.
Yeah, he's broken down.
I mean, I think he's done. If the caller's saying go with some sort of committee approach and throw a bunch of crap against the wall and see if he can come up with a shortstop, fine. But I'm not banking on Tulowitzki. No chance.
We've got John in Rhode Island on Rob Gronkowski. Go ahead, John.
Hey, long-time listener. First time calling. Love you guys. You guys are great. Just wanted to weigh in on Gronk because, I mean, we know he's been sucking this year and he hasn't been blocking good and he's been kind of a shell of himself, just like you said. So just wanted to know what you thought because I know he's been doing this whole TB12 stuff and drinking the avocado juice and all that, and that focuses on being lean and
flexible.
Less power. I don't know if you think that impacts him at all. That's it. I'll hang up. You guys talk.
Absolutely. It's possible. I mean, I don't know. He still looks strong. Like when you're in the off season, you saw him with his shirt off and stuff, or, you know, he would flex. He still looked ridiculous, but bands that make her dance?
Yes, yeah. Bands to make her dance.
Bands to make her dance.
So he's
bands to make her dance.
He's doing band work versus weight work. I mean,
he's not the same guy in terms of strength.
And he's less powerful and explosive. So how could you not look at that?
I mean, I think you have to question it.
Of course.
Totally. I mean, in his position, look, this gets back to that whole argument from the gate or out of the gate. You can probably do it if you're a quarterback. Can you do it as a tight end? I mean, would you ever want your left tackle or right tackle working without weights?
I don't think so.
I mean, effectively, that's what a tight end is, except you're more athletic. So what are we talking about here? So Gronk catches a pass against a safety who weighs 60 pounds less, and he's a yard from the first down marker, and he can't get it now. You tell me why that is.
I'm with you.
I don't think that's got anything to do with flexibility.
Mike and Woburn, if you're an NHL GM and Peter Chiarelli's on the other line, what do you do?
Drop everything and take the call. That's like the publisher's clearinghouse people showing up on your front doorstep. You've won the lottery. As soon as Peter Chiarelli on line one, hold my calls. I'm about to take this cat to the cleaners. Like, name the last good deal he's made. He hasn't made one.
Dennis Seidenberg.
Yeah, exactly. We have to go back to like the 2010-2009 season to find one. So here's the problem. You're trying to fill a hole on your roster with the shambles that he's left of his. So my point is he's trying to save his job, right?
Yep.
Why don't you trick him into, and it's not hard. It's not hard. You could talk about over 35, you know, year-old contracts. You could talk about a lot of things to trick him. But, Peter, I'm not going to take anything off your roster. I just want draft picks. I just want draft picks. He has, for his entire career, has chased the forbidden fruit. His city of gold has been the puck-moving defenseman. And you've got Torrey Krug, and you dangle him.
Just
right
take
in front
a first.
Of him.
I like it. Just take
you'll,
a first-round pick.
You'll get the Cabrillet deal from him, Mike. And then you can go to, like, the Flyers and get your other pieces, or the Devils,
like
or
it.
Any of these other teams. Shop somewhere else. Absolutely rob Chiarelli blind. Put as many, like, clauses in the deal as possible because he doesn't read them. And just freaking wipe him out.
I'm with you. I just want to deal with Chiarelli. That's why I'm saying yes to DeBrusk, because I just want to deal with Chiarelli. That's all I want. I want to be on the other end of one of his whoppers.
So then whatever he offers you, you take it.
I know. I mean, I'm being half sarcastic.
Of course.
Right? You know, but, you know, I don't mind Mike's proposal at all as well, because I could totally see Torrey Krug going out there and really not making much of a difference. And them still missing the playoffs and you getting a top 12 pick or something like that. Because really, at the end of the day, they still don't know how to play out there and they still don't have the D and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I would do that.
I mean, Krug will put up numbers. He always does. Now, look, the goal scoring's been down this year, but on the power play, he's valuable. The question is, does he alter your team as a defenseman? And I don't think he does.
No.
And look, we saw this last spring. You can't carry him and Grzelcyk both in the postseason. You can't do it.
And he's not even going to be your number one offensive defenseman. If McAvoy's all right, Physically, I mean. And look, I don't know if we're out of the woods with that because he's had a host of weird things. But if he's okay physically and he develops anywhere near the way he looks, Krug's still not the offensive player that he is. So he's getting your number one power play minutes. Or if you put both of them out there, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, he's Krug. If McAvoy is what we think, Krug's not even your number one offensive defenseman. So he's just repetitive. And I think Greslick is 80% of Krug at less than half the price.
McAvoy's just got to shoot more, and he'll give you everything Krug gives you. That's the only thing Krug does better is shoot.
We've got Burke in New Hampshire on Rob Gronkowski. Go ahead, Burke.
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you. I just want to say that Gronkowski is still the king of tight ends. But maybe he's just getting tired of these guys being draped all over him. He's got no chance down the field. I mean, he's got DBs draped on him constantly without a chance to catch the ball, without a call.
Not this
maybe
week.
He's just getting tired of it.
Well, I mean, Maz, go ahead. I mean,
yeah, not this week. He didn't. He played soft zone.
Right.
He got free releases off the line. He ran out to a spot on the field and stopped, and Brady threw him the ball. Now, there were a couple of plays where there were guys near him, the touchdown most notably, and he took a couple of shots once he started running down in the lower body, but he didn't have any real difficulty catching the ball. I just think Miami played him wrong this week. We've been saying it all year long. Teams are throwing two guys on him early in the year at the line of scrimmage. You're jamming him. He couldn't get off the jams at the line of scrimmage. All of it.
If he's tired of that,
time to go.
Then, hello? I mean, if you're a good player, you're going to get extra attention. What do you expect? Like, that comes with the territory. You can't, like, that's no, you can't give Gronk a break on that.
No, right, because he doesn't want to deal with it anymore?
What? What do you
but he's still king of the tight ends, to quote the caller, please.
I'm telling you.
Not this year.
I was stunned. And again, maybe I shouldn't be stunned because, as Bedard said, Miami's defense sucks. So they said, we can't cover Gronk one-on-one. We'll get destroyed. And if it's not him, it'll be someone else because we can't cover anybody one-on-one. So then maybe they just said, we're going to zone it up, which is why Brady was picking him apart, because we know that's no way to play Brady. The Steelers tried it in the playoffs, and they got killed.
They tried every time they play you.
So it's just, it's ridiculously stupid. But to me, with Gronk, you man him up and you batter him at the line. You make him fight on every play, and he just can't do it anymore.
He's sixth in yards with 637 yards, and he's tied with like five other bums with three touchdowns at 13th in the league with Gerald Everett, Chris Herndon, Vance McDonald, Michael Roberts. Three touchdowns. That's all he has.
I mean, Kelsey's got to be far and away number one, right?
No, Eric Ebron.
Oh, Ebron. I forgot about Ebron.
Had a resurgence in his career. 12 touchdowns with Indy this year. Kelsey has 10.
Dana in Rhode Island, what do you got for us on Rob Gronkowski?
Dana?
Okay, you can call us back tomorrow. We've got Shane in the car on the Xander Bogaerts topic. Yes, Shane.
Yeah, so guys, this is why we can't just get rid of Bogaerts. Here's why. So shortstop is not a position where you can just get rid of somebody and then play a guessing game on who's going to be up next. We have one of the most consistent shortstops defensively in the league. And, you know, we're building a dynasty here. We're not in a rebuilding mode. We shouldn't be getting rid of these guys. That's all I have to say.
Okay, Maz, you want to weigh in on that?
So, look, I like the idea of keeping Bogaerts, too. I mean, at the right number, of course I want to keep him. The problem is that he's got an agent who's notoriously difficult to deal with. You have bets coming up. You got a couple of pitchers coming up. And I feel like you're going to have to pay out the nose to keep this guy. That's what worries me. Now, the stability and the consistency defensively, good. I don't think Bogaerts made an error in the playoffs, which is a good sign. Okay, he's not a gold glover, but he's steady. And he's become steady, and that's good. He just feels to me like a guy that you're going to end up overpaying for.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So we should get right to the sound, or do you want to plug Christmas in the City, the auction?
Okay, so the online auction continues at 98.5thesportshub.com. I think it directs you right to the christmasinthecity.org website. Either way, all these items up for bid, and all proceeds go to that wonderful charity that we partner with every year, Christmas in the City, a 100-volunteer nonprofit organization that plays Santa to thousands of children who are currently living in Boston's homeless shelters and foster homes and kids who just don't get to experience Christmas. It's amazing to think that there are kids out there that don't get to do it, but they don't. And so Jake Kennedy, his wife Sparky, and Christmas in the City provide it. We help them raise funds every year. Four-pack of tickets, Celtics-Pacers for Sunday, January 9th, a golf outing with Tony Maz. What's that bid at right now, Maz?
The golf outing's at $12.25.
$12.25 golf outing, a threesome with Maz again.
So to speak.
Mm-hmm. 18 holes at the Ensign Resort and Country Club. An overnight stay at the Seaport Hotel is up for bid. A Larry Bird signed basketball. Where's that at?
$800.
Okay, let's get that up.
That's a good get. A Bird ball?
How about a Troy Brown signed football? Where are we at there?
The Troy Brown football is at $210.
Okay, good. That should be higher. A Bruins team signed stick. Where's the bid right now?
The Bruins team signed stick is at $550.
Okay, a four-pack of Bruins tickets for December 27th. Where are we at there?
$1,000.
That includes a $200 gift card to the Smoke Shop by Andy Husbands. Okay, so the Smoke Shop, little food there, little nosh, and the game.
You got to try that brisket at the Smoke Shop. It's off the charts good.
Amazing. It's a four-pack, so four seats plus the $200 gift card. The bid right now is $1,000. I think you're barely ahead of face value there.
Right, get that up.
No, that's good. A good get. Yeah, you got to get in on that one.
Come on. And then, again, most notably, the Felger and Maz show sit-in, where you get to come in and be a co-host or the host or maybe the update guy, whatever. On-air show sit-in where you are part of the show.
Welcome back, Felger and Maz, with me, Derek from Malden. And finally, we're going to get to it. Why did Chris Mortensen say 11 of the 12 game balls were inflated significantly below the NFL's requirements, and he didn't apologize?
You can go Deflategate. You can go Malcolm Butler. You can go wherever you want to go as long as it's FCC compliant and you don't totally bug the crap out of us.
Yeah, since I'm hosting, can we get a food drop from that Smoke Shop place?
Okay, so four of those. We're giving away four of them. Where are the current bids, Maz?
We did get another higher bid over $1,500, so it's at $1,505. So now the four high bids range from $1,100 to $1,505.
So you got to land in the top four. You land in the top four. You come in. We'd like you in this Friday, okay? The show sitting is this Friday, the 14th.
Yeah, and maybe Maz will even buy you the Smoke Shop food.
And as I said, if you are super generous, we can work with you on the date, I think, but you better be generous. If you're just a high bid, that doesn't mean you get to pick another day. We want you in Friday, this Friday, the 14th.
But I want ribs.
Okay. You can also contribute real quick. The Christmas in the City experience is open to the public the day before the party for the homeless kids, okay? Saturday, December 15th from 11 to 4 at the Boston Convention Expo. $20 gets you in, gets you unlimited rides, meeting Santa, experiencing the whole party, okay? So it's a great thing to do with your family, and all your money goes to Christmas in the City. So help them raise some money on Saturday the 15th. There's that. Murray, what's in the final word?
Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, making his weekly appearance. Here is his condensed 10 questions segment put together by
that's going to be good.
There's an wrong injury report.
Pick only one coach to coach your defense: Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll.
Pete.
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 Number nine, who do you like between these three teams the best? The Cowboys, the Bears, or the Seahawks? Greg?
I assume this means, like, on the field right now?
Yes.
Seahawks.
If you could redo the 2018 draft for the Patriots, who should you take? Sony Michel or Lamar Jackson?
Can I say neither and pick somebody else?
Nope.
Okay.
What's the biggest wasted talent in the league?
So is that what you're talking about? Specific player or whole team?
Next.
Just answer the question.
Can you bring yourself to give Jerry Jones any credit for the Amari Cooper trade?
I could, because I voted him for Executive of the Year.
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
He deserved it.
Biggest tool bag stealer. You can go current, all time. Give me a couple names.
Current and all time?
Both.
Roethlisberger.
Number four, to be fair, in the interest of fairness, because we're nothing if not fair.
Psycho.
Has this been a good year for the NFL?
It's been, you know, there's no real, like, so, yes.
What's the biggest remaining problem in the league?
Well, I just think the overall problem, because you asked, what's the single
biggest problem
in
the
league?
I agree. Last question. Who's the best team in the league?
They're scuffling right now, but the Saints.
That's probably the best way to put it.
Okay.
There's the wrong answer for that.
I do love that.
I'm telling you, Bedard. That's really not edited that heavily. There's, you know how we have a certain pace and tempo to the show? Like, there's a, it's a fairly well-paced program.
It yeah, no. I'd say that there's a definite, you know, we go no huddle for the most part.
Yeah, we get in, we get out. It's rapid fire.
Yeah, Chip Kelly produced.
Whew. Bedard messes with the tempo, doesn't
he? Oh, my God, please. Talk about letting the air out of the ball.
Oh,
holy crap, a four-corner offense with Greg Bedard. Jesus, amazing. You need a shot clock with this guy. It's like they need the pitch clock in MLB. With Bedard, we need the talk clock.
The pause between every time, the three up, three down, three studs, three duds. What's your second star, Greg? Like, he's got all day. He's got 2 days to put it together, right? The game's on Sunday. He knows Tuesday at 2:35, I'm going to ask him who his second star is. And he's still, and then he looks at the clipboard and he...
Hold on, let me check this out.
Rifles through some papers.
You know what? He must have sucked on the SAT. Yeah, that's
Jesus,
time, right?
My
seriously.
God, spit it out.
Where did he go to school again? Where did Bedard go?
Rutgers.
Oh, see?
God.
I mean, he should have been at, like, a borderline Ivy with his brain.
He's
probably belaboring every question. Probably didn't answer half the questions.
So freaking deliberate.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. On an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Looking for hope?
House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.